Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Let's take a quick look back at last week's 62-28 win against Southern Boone. What were some things that jumped out at you from that game on film?
Second half, attention to details, I think, is the most important thing. I thought our first half, it was little things that hurt us on both sides of the ball, even special teams. And I've got to do a better job, I guess, preparing our team to be mentally focused. I thought we had a good week of practice, thought everything looked good, but it just wasn't something clicking right at the beginning of the game. They got some big plays on us. It was things that we can fix. But second half, we really played some good football in the third and fourth quarters.
Just the number that jumps out to me is the 510 yards rushing. Because, I remember keeping track of it during the game. I'm like, man, they're running for quite a bit. I didn't realize how much it was until afterward. And to me, it just goes to show how good this – I mean, and not only that, but 67 carries. I mean, just to have that many offensive plays in one game is a big deal.
Well, with the defense they run, the 3-3, and bringing everybody – we felt like we were going to have to do some special things, and when it boiled down to it, run option. You know, and that's what we did. We started just running option, but then we started running some power football at them because we felt like we had an advantage in some certain areas. And the way the game was going, it felt like it was a track meet, and I wanted to slow it down because they're very good on their offensive side of the ball at getting in track meets. Where they're not very good is when they're standing on the sidelines, and we just tried to keep a little bit more ball possession than probably we have done in the past. I just felt like that really dictated a good tone for our game. And so we just, you know, when we're getting 6, 7, 8 yards a pop, I kept asking the coaches in the box, and everybody's like, let's just keep doing what we're doing. Let's hold the ball and let's run the ball and keep having success with it. And I think that the end result was that wore them down because they had so many two-way players.
And not only that, but defensively, the biggest takeaway I had, I believe they had about 311 yards. About half of those yards came on the 4 touchdown plays. But the other takeaway was after that last touchdown, you all held them to just 34 net yards the rest of the game. And so it's one of those things where I think you almost have to look at, there were big plays, but you have to look that the majority of the plays were great plays by your defense.
I think that in the second half, we really played our areas a lot better. In the first half, we had 2 DBs fall down, just out of the blue fall down. And, you know, when that happens, big plays are going to happen because as elusive as the Evans kid is, he's going to find the open receiver. And he did on both of them. He found the guy that was open. So I thought the biggest adjustment for us was just playing more slowed down. And what I mean by slowed down is we took a breath. You know, we didn't. It was like in the first half, we tried to be panicked. And I thought our secondary looked a little panicked. The second half, it looked like we were, okay, we're going to be all right. They get a pass completed, tackle it. In the first half, we weren't tackling right after.
And you know, on top of that, being conference champs, I know that you talk about there's 4 goals. That's number 2. How nice was that for the team, for the seniors and the team to be able to check that one off?
Well, anytime you sit down in December and that's a goal for the players, that's very important. And that was a really important. I know at halftime, it was even something they talked about. Nick Closter brought that up. We won't be conference champs. We have to win this. We want to be conference champs. So if there's something there and you can compete for it, then you better compete for it. And that's something that the conference gives us, is a competition to be the best in the conference. And you want to be the best in the conference.
And by winning, and with Moberly's loss, you all get the 1 seed, a first-round bye. And that's the other thing is, with the way the system is set up nowadays, for the longest time you used to have 8 teams in a district, you didn't get the bye. But I believe this is the 4th time in the past 7 years a Blair Oaks football team has had that Week 10 bye. What do you see as like the, I know we've talked about this every year it's happened, but what do you see as the pros and cons to that?
The pro is getting to go back and slow down at practice and not stomping worms. And when I mean stomping worms, you're just doing stuff, do stuff. We get to slow down at practice. The second pro of it is your body gets a week. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to have practice. We're still going to do all things. But that Friday night wear and tear, is it's just, it's nice to have that, to be able to let your body kind of recover a little bit. We got some players, you know, they've got bumps and bruises, and all of a sudden now they come back on Saturday morning and it's like, I didn't play a game. I want to go. And it's the third pro is that we've lost a week. And so the sense of urgency now it heightens, and our players want to play football because they've had a week where they didn't get to play. So now they know what it's like to be without it. The cons, when you got something rolling, you want to keep it rolling. You want to keep the routine going. You want to keep, you know, everything as a football coach and as a football player, everything's so regimented within us. So from that, you've got to make sure that you don't downplay, hey, we're taking a week off. You're not downplaying that at all. But you don't want to overplay it either. You don't want to say, hey, we're taking a week off. We're not. We're actually going to prepare. And I think our players have done a great job this week of that. Our Monday and Tuesday practices were very good, very spirited. We took some time off of practice, as far as, I'm not saying time off practice, but instead of having 5-minute periods, we had 4-minute periods. So everything was a little crisper, a little faster, and we got them off the field to get them a little rest, but still got our work done.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. So, Greg, it was an eagerly anticipated game last week, and I think for a while there, in terms of just the closeness of the game, it lived up to expectations. And then, as we've seen a lot of times, Blair Oaks eventually pulls away, ends up making what, you know, we were kind of thinking was could had the potential to be a tight game, a 62-28 win against Southern Boone. So, I mean, credit the Falcons for really making a statement in a statement game.
It was, and I mean, you know, it really looked a lot like they've had three games that started somewhat similarly. You have the Lutheran North game, the Seaman Kansas game, and now the Southern Boone, where really they're kind of up against the ropes quite often in the first half, much more compared to the other six games in the regular season. You know, Lutheran North was just, you know, they just couldn't quite overcome, and they, you know, Lutheran North was always seems like they were one score ahead of them or one play ahead of them. Week two, you learn a lot from that. The Seaman game, I thought, was really the turning point because they took a lot of punches in that game, metaphorical punches, obviously, and then really turned it on after the first quarter. This game, Southern Boone really did a good job of keeping up with Blair Oaks for a half, but Southern Boone had so many kids going both ways, and I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses, but at the same time, I think that played a big role, whereas Southern Boone had a lot of their players go both ways. Blair Oaks only has one or two players go both ways, and I think that Blair Oaks felt more fresh in the second half compared to Southern Boone. I think that's what really led to them pulling away, because, I mean, you know, Southern Boone was winning 22-19 at half, 28-26 early in the third quarter,
right,
and then Blair Oaks just turned it on a couple minutes into the third quarter.
You know, and that was the thing, I think. Early on, I happened to kind of tune in the game, like at that point when you mentioned, where I got a chance to watch it, and it was like, oh, they're in trouble. And it was like, okay. But then I think it was score, stop, score, stop, score. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, this game's over now, because all you had to do was kind of, instead of having that back and forth, all you had to kind of get was that one initial stop, and then it seems like it kind of got things rolling just where it was going to be insurmountable after that.
I mean, I really thought the last score Southern Boone had, I believe it was a 67-yard touchdown pass from A.J. Evans to Brady Dapkus. And it was just a short screen pass, and Dapkus turned on the Chets and went down the sideline. I remember thinking, if Southern Boone has a couple more plays like that, Blair Oaks might actually be in trouble.
Right.
You know, Blair Oaks, to their credit, answered, scored, went up, what was it, 32-28. And then I thought this was the backbreaker. Southern Boone's driving. They get the ball down there, and then they throw, Evans throws an interception to Joey Wilde in the end zone. And I remember talking to Coach LePage after the game, and I said, you could point to so many key plays, but I was like, I thought that was the play of the game, because that was the first time we saw Blair Oaks steal momentum and never give it back.
Yeah.
I mean, because there were four, Southern Boone had four turnovers. I mean, they had a pick six, or not pick six. Blair Oaks had an interception by defensive lineman Jackson Marshall that led to a score. But the next time Blair Oaks got the ball, I believe they punted or turned it over or something like that. And it was like they struggled to get back-to-back scores that they need to get that ball rolling. And
sure,
I thought that interception coupled by another touchdown made a big difference. And I think when Blair Oaks scored to make it 39-28, that was the first two-score lead by either team all game. And
right,
I remember looking at it, and I'm like, that might be the difference in the game right there, because I don't think Southern Boone can score back-to-back and get a stop in between, because they hadn't in the first half.
Yeah. you know, it's been a long season, so I can't remember if we've talked about this on air or if it's been you and me talking about it when we just kind of bat things back and forth after we've turned off the microphone. But we've talked about it a couple times this year, and I think this game was the perfect example of it. So Blair Oaks ends up rushing for 510 yards, and it sounds like it's one of those things where you go, you know what? If we don't have to pass, then let's not pass. We just don't need to. If a team can't stop you from doing one thing, sometimes if you stop yourself from doing it, it's almost like you're being bullheaded and saying, oh, let's just be too smart for our own good. And at this point, it sounds like in this game, Burks was like, we have this working. Let's just run it and run it and run it some more.
67 running plays. That's amazing. And you had 17. They had 84 offensive plays in that game. Right. So that was a huge deal. And the thing is, I don't think any of these runs for more than 50 yards. So if you take a look, it was a lot of like 5 to 10 yard gains, a handful of 10 to 15, and then they break out for like that 25 or 30 yard run every so often, whether it was Tyler Bex, Eli Luckett, or Hayden Lackman. And to me, you know, I make this comparison to Blair Oaks to the Chiefs in that the offense, you take a look at what makes the Kansas City Chiefs different this year, and I would argue it's that they're more balanced. Yes, I know Travis Kelce is their leading receiver, but they have so many different playmakers. If you focus too much on Travis Kelce, they're going to make you pay with the others. You look at this Blair Oaks team, and yes, in the past, if you wanted to focus your attention on Dylan Hare, because if you shut him down, it was going to be hard for somebody else to take the reins and take control of the offense. You've got Bex, Luckett, Lackman. Shut one of them down, they're going to beat you with the other two. Right. Shut two of them down, the remaining you can't shut all three of them down.
Yeah.
And the other argument is the passing game. It was far from Tyler Bax's best passing game, but when you can run for what he had, 212 yards rushing, I think it's easy to look past an off night in the passing game. So I think that's the exciting part, is that they're so balanced on offense that's what's going to make them a tough team in the postseason.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, you know, good things come in threes, and the threes is you not only get a statement win in a statement game and close out the regular season with a win, you run the table in the Tri-County again, which is something you always want to do, and then you know, as it happens, you end up, everything ends up working out in your favor, and you get the number one seed in districts, and so you get the first round bye. So it was just like, that was just a great win in a whole number of facets for the Falcons.
It was. I mean, that was. I kept checking Twitter every now and then on the Jays Moberly score, because if Moberly won, it didn't matter what Blair Oaks did. All Moberly had to do was win, and they were the one seed.
Right.
And you know, it was 7-0 Moberly or Jeff City at halftime. Right. I remember thinking, man, if you know, that doesn't really feel all that comfortable if you're a Blair Oaks fan. And then once I saw the final, I was like, okay. If you're Blair Oaks, you have to be feeling much better about that. And this is such a loaded district. And that was one of the things I talked to Coach LePage about. How often do you see four state-ranked teams in one district? Sure. You've got Blair Oaks at number one. I believe Centralia is number five. You've got Moberly at number nine. You've got Southern Boone at number 10. But that's not the order they're in district seating. So, you know, Blair Oaks is one. Moberly is two, Centralia is three, Southern Boone is four. And by the way, Southern Boone would be a one seed. So this is District 4. I would argue Southern Boone would be the one seed in classes, or in Districts 1 through 3.
Yeah.
I would argue in nothing against Park Hill Central or Orchard Farm or any of those other good teams on those other ones. But you could take any one of those four teams in District 4, and I think they could be the one seed in any of the other adjacent three districts on that side of the bracket. Absolutely. It is just such a loaded district.
Yeah. So by the virtue of that one seed, the Falcons, who are now 8-1 overall, get the first round bye in district play. So here's the question. You know, since time immemorial, it's always been coaches will, you know, flip-flop sometimes depending on the year, sometimes depending on the team. But it's like, okay, would you rather play and not disrupt things, or would you rather get that first round bye? So here's my question for you from the standpoint of, yes, number one's great because it assures you're going to have a home game throughout district play. So that's you know, inherent in that. That also goes with it. But I would argue, okay, so there are years where, okay, a 2-7 matchup, okay, would you rather have that and stay sharp and get a game, or would you rather not play? Here's my question, though. So this year, Moberly's going to have to play and being the 2 seed instead of Blair Oaks. They're playing number 7 seed Macon, and it's an 0-9 Macon team that's been shut out four times and has only scored 7 points in one other game. So to me, There are games where you go, let's stay sharp by playing a game, and then there are games where you literally get zip out of it. I don't think Moberly is going to get tested in this one at all. So it's almost like, would you rather have the bye, or would you rather have to play a game? Not if it's this game, I think.
You know, that was one of the things I talked to Coach LePage. You know, where can you break down the pros and cons of having the one seed and having a first-round bye? And, I mean, there's so many pros. And, yes, the cons is football is a sport of routine. You know, if you don't have a game, it kind of throws you out of whack. I mean, if you get out of routine, it might take you a while to get back into that routine. But when you're as disciplined as this Blair Oaks team is, I don't think that's going to be a factor. You know, the pros, obviously, as Coach LePage mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, it's another week to get healthy. I think the biggest pro is that home field advantage throughout districts. Because, well, I think if Moberly had gotten the one and Blair Oaks got the two, if Blair Oaks went up to Moberly, I think they'd win that one. I would argue they'd probably win handily. But, if you're Blair Oaks, I don't know who you'd want to play in district semifinals. Would you want Southern Boone again, or would you want a Centralia team? And, I mean, I think that's really one of the few other cons is we've seen so many times, you and I have seen so many times where Blair Oaks plays the same team back-to-back in weeks 9 and 10. You know, it's been I think it was Versailles in like 2015. It's been California before. It's been Osage before. And there's a good chance Blair Oaks is going to play back-to-back games against Southern Boone. And the difference is, a lot of those times when Blair Oaks was playing back-to-back, those teams that are playing were like 0-9, 1-8.
Right.
This is a very good Southern Boone team that there's a good chance you're going to play back-to-back. So I think maybe that's a bit of a concern. But at the same time, I do think home field advantage makes a big difference. And Coach LePage is a huge analytics guy. And I can't remember where he said he got it from, but one of the stats is, you know, between 80 and 90% of the one seeds in district since we've started this format have gone on to win districts. Sure. If you get the one seed, it's not guaranteed you win, but the one seed does make a huge difference.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be the tail end of a News Tribune football podcast if we didn't have a prediction point of the podcast.
I figured you were going to ask.
So I think I'll just ask you, who's the Falcons' opponent going to be next week? How do you think things playing out in district action tonight?
See, and that's the thing. Like, you know, talking to Coach LePage, these are two somewhat similar, like maybe not personnel, but at least styles of play. And it's so hard to tell because they both play completely different schedules. You know, Wright City is Southern Boone's opponent in that 4-5 game. Wright City is of the Eastern Missouri Conference. So they play a lot of smaller schools and play a Bowling Green. I'm trying to remember who their losses to are other than Bowling
Green.
Their
losses to are Orchard Farm, Montgomery County, and Bowling Green.
And those are three good teams. Orchard Farm, as I mentioned earlier, is a one seed in the adjacent district, District 3. So again, Wright City is a good team, but I mean, Southern Boone is just, from what I saw, they're so good and so talented. I mean, Brady Dapkus is the real deal and he's only a sophomore. He's going to be a threat the next few years. I think this is a game, we're going to see a Blair Oaks Southern Boone rematch at the Falcon Athletic Complex. I think Southern Boone wins this. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think Southern Boone wins 56-35.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.